matter how many years you have been sick, no matter how many years you have been jobless, my God shall turn around your situation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Put your hands together for him. Hallelujah. Sit down. Say, neighbor, you are welcome. Say, neighbor, your time is now. Your time is here. You shall receive great blessings in Jesus' name. You bow down your heads and humble yourself before God. Ask him to help you not to miss every word he has prepared for you. Speak to him. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Today, I want to speak to us a very deep and profound message. But before I start my message, I would like to advise you. To allow your spirit, body, and soul to hear what God has to say. Your spirit need God, your soul need God, your body also need God. In other words, you are expected to succeed in your spirit and succeed in your soul, succeed in your body. Salvation can only be achieved when the three of you is saved. I will not say are saved because you are one person. Hallelujah. Salvation can only be achieved when three of you what? Is saved. Jesus came to deliver our spirit and to deliver our soul, to deliver our body. How did he deliver our body? He said, by my stripes you are healed. How did he deliver our soul? He said, come unto me all those who have heavy burden on you, and I will give you rest. How did he deliver our spirit? He said to us, anyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't settle for less. Don't only receive a part of salvation. Receive the totality of God's salvation. Am I talking to somebody right here? My message today is very straightforward. The topic is very simple. Yet mysterious. The title of my message today is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What did I say? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Somebody might ask me, why such kind of a topic? Why the name of Jesus as the topic for today's message? The reason why God asked me to speak about Jesus is because Jesus is everything, and everything is Jesus. Bible says, out of him nothing has been made and can never be made. He is the source of everything. without him, nothing has been made. Outside him, nothing exists. Am I talking to somebody again? So Jesus Christ is the totality of everything. He is everything summed up in one individual. Am I communicating? Now, I believe so many of us here have read one or two times, or most times, read the book of Revelation. Let me see your hand. Or, if you have not read it, then you might have come across a preacher preaching to you about the book of what? Revelation. Where you see there are so many things that have been stated in the book of Revelation. We see about the Antichrist. We see about the beast, the dragon. We see about the seals that will be opened. We see the book of Revelation telling us about how the earth will come to an end. Talks to us about the angels that will blow the trumpet, which will signify the ending of a race, a particular race. So the book of Revelation contains a lot of revelation. So it's a revelation that contains revelations. Am I communicating? So you have thousands and thousands of messages all in one book, summed up in what? In one book, the book of Revelation. But there is something many Christians make mistake. In as much as the book of Revelation contains a lot of things, there is the main thing. In as much as it contains a lot of things, there is what? The main thing. Just like when Martha was in the kitchen preparing for food for Jesus, Mary was at the feet of Jesus listening to his message. When Martha came out angry, she said, "Master, why do you allow this girl to be around here? She's supposed to be helping me in the kitchen." Then Jesus answered and said, "Martha, Martha, you worry about so many things. But one thing is needful. One thing is important. You are permitted to do so many things, but one thing is important. You are permitted to say so many things, but one word is important. You are permitted to encounter everybody you can encounter on earth, but one individual, which is Jesus Christ, is the most important. You may be happy and so joyous the day you encounter the bone of your bone, your wife or your husband. You may be so happy the day you met friends. But one thing is needful. Until you meet Jesus, you have not met that one most important individual. One most important individual. Am I talking to somebody right here? Tell your neighbor, as you are doing many things, one thing is needful. What I'm trying to tell you, this is the very foundation of people's problem. Most especially Christians. They include Jesus in their list instead of making him the least. They include Jesus in their plan instead of making him the plan. Including Jesus in your plan, you have already limited his power. Including Jesus in your list, you have already limited him in your life. Am I talking to somebody right here? Am I communicating to somebody? So he is the most important. Don't list him among other important things. Even if you list him as number one, you have still reduced his power. Make him the least. Make him the plan. Just like today, Sunday, you have a lot of things to do. Some of you cook, some of you will go out to greet friends, some of you will go so many places, will do so many things. But one thing is needful, and you are here. This is the most important aspect of today. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Alright. Let us read the book of Revelation, chapter 1, from verse 1. Before you understand a book in the Bible, you start from the beginning of the book. What is the message? What is the book trying to say? Yes, Revelation chapter 1. I want you to read it slowly. Verse 1.
And it says, the revelation.
Listen to that. The revelation
of Jesus Christ.
Of who? Of who?
Jesus Christ.
Of who?
Jesus Christ.
Of who?
Jesus
of
Christ.
Of who?
Jesus
Never
Christ.
You forget that. Just because you see the name of the beast, you see the name of the dragon, you see angels being listed in the book of Revelation, one thing is needful. It is the revelation of who?
Jesus.
Am I talking to somebody right here?
Yes, sir.
So John is trying to let you know that everything you see in this book, don't be carried away with the lot of words you see. The most important aspect of this book is that it is the revelation of who? Jesus. Am I talking to somebody right here? Are we together? That is why somebody asked me a question. He said, why is it that when I pray for people, I am not mentioning the name of Jesus to every individual? Say, in the name of Jesus. 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 He said, because if I'm not mentioning the name of Jesus, that means the prayer is not to Jesus. Say that. Then I answered him, if you come out from the river, do you need to bow? Do you need a shower after you come out of the river? How can you come from Jesus and still not have Jesus? Mentioning the name of Jesus to every individual is nothing but unbelief. Am I saying it's wrong? No. If you jump in Jesus, it's a prayer. If you shout in Jesus, it's a prayer. No wonder the shout brought down the walls of Jericho. Anything you do, no matter how nonsense it looks like, if you do it in Jesus, then it becomes meaningful. If you dance in Jesus, it's a prayer to Jesus. If you laugh in Jesus, it's a prayer to Jesus. If you sing in Jesus, it's a prayer to Jesus. You don't need to say, Jesus, this one is for you. You're already inside. You're already part of Him. You're already with Him. So when you see me stretching my hand, I'm stretching from Jesus. If I'm stretching from Jesus, I don't need to remind Jesus that come and do something. No! I don't need to call His name for Him to hear me. So whether you shout like blind Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy on me, or you pray silently like Hannah, if you do it all in the name of Jesus, God will still hear you. That means it's not how loud you pray or how silent you pray that matters. It is where you are praying from that matters. Are you praying from Jesus? Then the answer is is given already. Am I talking to somebody that here? The whole book of Revelation is started by saying, this is the revelation of Jesus. Don't forget that. Let it be established in your mind. Am I talking to somebody that here? Am I communicating? Are we together? Are we together? Now there is something the Lord revealed to me, which so many people have made mistakes. How many of you want to go to heaven? You want to go to, you don't want to miss heaven. Let me see your hand. You want to go to heaven. Raise your hand. If you want to go to heaven, let me see your hand. You want heaven to be your destination. Let me see your hand. Heaven is your biggest desire. Let me see your hand. You want to be in heaven. Go down here. There is a way you can desire to go to heaven and still miss heaven. Do you know why? Idolatry is not simply when you take an image and you put it before you and you worship that image. Idolatry is when anything takes the place of Jesus in your heart. You are allowed to desire to go to heaven. But if your desire to go to heaven is bigger than your desire to have Jesus, you still miss it. Because what makes heaven is Jesus. What makes the house is the landlord. The house is not standing on its own. The car cannot drive itself. The driver is needed. When you desire heaven without the owner of the heaven, you miss. Am I talking to somebody right here? I'm trying to give you some meat to chew today. Not milk. If your desire for heaven is greater than your desire for Jesus, you are still soon stepping into what? Idolatry. Very soon you idolize, you make heaven to be your what? Your idol. You idolize heaven, which is a place. Heaven is a location. Jesus is a person. Okay, see it this way. Jesus is a CEO, owner of a company called Heaven. How can you say you love me if you only love my company and you don't love me? Huh? Heaven is one of the places Jesus built. So if you love heaven more than him, you are idolizing what? Heaven ahead of what? Jesus. This is what the Pharisees never understood. That's why he had problems with them when he was on earth. They came, they saw the disciples eating when they're supposed to be fasting. And they said, why is your disciples not fasting? He said, listen guys, when you fast for me. I am with them. You don't need to fast. What makes Sabbath, Sabbath is me. When they are with me, they are already observing Sabbath. They don't need to observe the day. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. heaven is a kingdom of principle. That's why Jesus said, you can't go to the Father except through me. No matter how you love the Father, if you don't come through me, you don't get to him. It's a principle. It's a principle that must be followed. Subtract Jesus from the equation, what you have is a wrong answer. Once Jesus is subtracted from your equation, then what you have is a wrong answer. Don't be surprised to find Satan as the answer. You say, I thought I loved God. You love God, but God is bigger than you. The one you should go to is who? Is Jesus. No, I don't want to confuse you. Jesus is the combination of the human capacity and the divinity. So if you go to God, you can't meet God. But if you come to Jesus, he ushers you to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are we together? Are we together? When the Lord told me that, it broke my heart. He said to me, many people don't know that what makes heaven heaven is me. If I decide to relocate from heaven and go to hell, hell becomes heaven and heaven becomes hell. It's the light that shines in darkness and darkness cannot comprehend it. When it comes to hell, hell begins to glitter as gold. And his departure from heaven makes heaven to be as dark as what you can imagine. Some of you still pray like Peter and John when they were not yet born again. Some of you still call my Father who is in heaven when he's already living in you. Heaven is not a place you die and you go to. Heaven is simply having Jesus. You must settle that in your heart. If you have Jesus, you have what? You have heaven. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? Let us read Mark chapter 10, verse 29. To 30. Mark 10, 29 to 30.
Mark chapter 10, verse 29 to 30. And he said, I tell you the truth. Jesus replied, No one who has left home, or brothers, or sisters, or mother,
or father,
or children,
or field,
for me,
and the gospel,
verse 36, will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and field, and with them, persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life.
Now stop there. The people that will pack my load if Jesus is leaving heaven today. He said, today, from this day, I don't have any business with heaven. I'll pack my load also. I'm no longer staying there. It's no longer my home. But guess what? Some Christians will stay in heaven because they will think heaven is bigger than Jesus. Read for me Luke 17, verse 20 to 21.
Luke 17, verse 20 to 21.
Uh-huh.
And it says,
yes.
Once, having been asked,
yes,
by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God will come.
They said, the Pharisees were thinking, they said, since he has been talking about heaven, when are we going to see this kingdom of God? When is it coming? Which year are we to expect it?
Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come.
The kingdom of God does not come.
With your careful observation. Now will people say, here is it.
Is in heaven there.
Or it is.
Or it is here. There.
Because the kingdom of God.
Is within you.
Then he said to his disciples.
Did you hear that? Stop there. He said, the kingdom of God is not in China. Heaven is not up above the sky. Heaven is not somewhere in the spirit. The kingdom of God is within you. Meaning, when you have Jesus seated at the center of your heart, you are already in heaven. He is the heaven. No wonder when he was on the cross, he could give someone free tickets. He is on earth, but he can give free tickets. He turned to the man and said, look, if I guarantee you, you just enter. You don't need to pass through angels or anywhere. If it is me that said you have it, no matter how sinful you are, you have it. It doesn't matter how many people you rob on earth. It doesn't matter how many people you kill on earth. As an armed robber, if I tell you you have heaven, you have it. And of course, the other thief is waiting for God. He's waiting to see God coming down from the throne so that you will know this is God. You never know that Jesus is the summary of everything. If you have Jesus, you have everything. If not, what gives Jesus the audacity? You are not even in heaven, you are giving free tickets. It means when he's walking, it is heaven that is walking. That's why several times he told the disciples, He that is in me, I am a place. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. If my word abides in you, and you abide in me, then me and my father will have a place in you. When the totality of Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, sit in your heart, don't desire to go to any heaven. That's the heaven. That's the heaven. That's the heaven. That is what destroyed the Israelites. They saw Jesus. They were waiting for something special in the future. Instead of accepting the one they can see. Several times he told them, I am the way. You can't follow any other way. I am the one. If you get me, you get everything. They say, forget about that one. We are waiting for the main one. Am I talking to somebody that? Are we together? Are we together? One day, Paul came and was preaching to his congregation. Just like I'm preaching to you today. But then, who he was teaching were babies in Christ. As he was teaching them, all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. He switched and said something that is beyond them. You know, it happens sometimes. Where you are talking to, let's say, Nursery 1 student, and then you forget, you mention something of the tertiary institution to the Nursery 1 student. Then you quickly remember, oh, I'm talking to Nursery 1 student. It's not meant for them. Let us read. Oh my God. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Are you there? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Start from verse 11.
Verse 11.
Uh-huh.
We have much to say about this.
Listen to that. We have much to say about this. Uh-huh.
But it is hard to explain.
It is hard. You know, there is nothing as hard as trying to explain a mystery that is no longer a mystery to the one speaking. It's very hard. Because when it's coming out of the mouth of the one explaining, it's coming out mysterious. But when it is with the man, it's no longer mysterious. So it becomes hard to explain it to babies in Christ. He said, I have a lot to teach you. Never you think what we teach you on a Sunday like this is everything we know. Continue.
Because you are slow to learn.
Because you are slow to learn.
In fact. Though by this time.
You ought to be teachers.
You need someone to teach you the elementary truth.
You are supposed to be teachers by now, but up till now you still need A, B, C, D.
Elementary truth of God. Of God's word. All over again. You need milk. Not solid food.
Solid food is not for you. It will choke you. And if care is not taken, you may die. It may kill you. What's meant to save you can end up killing you. What's meant to give you knowledge can end up destroying you. Continue.
Anyone who lives on milk. Being still an infant.
He's still an infant.
Is not acquainted. With teaching about righteousness.
He said, I cannot go and start teaching you about righteousness because you are too young for that.
But solid food.
Is for the mature.
Who by constant use have trained themselves.
They have trained themselves.
To distinguish good from evil. That's the last verse.
Yes, now did you hear that? Now as he was talking to them, he was telling them that I have much to tell you, but I cannot tell you at this level because you are babies. You have not yet grown to listen to what I will say. Then something happened. As he was giving the message, he now switched and said something that is beyond them. Now it takes a prophet to understand a prophet. So when I'm reading the verse, I could know that's when the prophet switched. Go to chapter 6. Now, before you read, let me try to give you a clue before we read it. Paul, as he was talking to them, he now tell them, do you know that there is a way a believer can test future glory? A believer can taste what?
Future glory in the present.
You don't understand what I'm saying? Meaning, if you are meant to be a billionaire, for example, 20 years to come, there is a way you can test it today in 2021. Just a test. Just a test. Not the totality. You can test it. People in 2021 will not know that you have tested it. For you, you have tested what is to come 20 years later. I remember I had a case of someone having very strange sickness. And then, as I was about to pray for the person, the Lord told me the grace necessary to heal this sickness has not been released yet. He said to me, it has not been released yet. I've kept that grace till the time of tribulation, which means till after rapture. Then I said, how comes this person got the sickness? The sickness that is meant for the future has come now presently. Now doctors scan, they will check everything, they can't understand the sickness because it's not part of today. The sickness is not of today, it's of the future. And it needs healing grace, not of today, but of the future. Then I said, Lord, how can then we handle this case? The Lord said to me, go to this verse that I want to show you. He said, there is a way you can test future glory in the present. You can tap little from the future and operate with it in the now. And when you operate with it, it will look strange to people. Because they don't know, they have not seen that kind of manifestation. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Now try to think. In those days, 1805, 1810, you can imagine the kind of manifestation they celebrate at that time. Somebody is sick of headache, they will celebrate. Then what? They will celebrate. Now, the prophet of old, when they were prophesying about the coming of Jesus, they tested it.
Oh,
there's a way they test his coming, even when it's not in their time, they test it. When Isaiah was telling you, unto us a son, a child is born, unto us a son is given, he's testing it. He's tapping into that year when Jesus is born. He's feeling it. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It's a dimension. It's a dimension. Not for the babies, but for the mature. Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
Where people will be waiting to die to go to heaven, you on earth, you will test how heaven looks like a little. And then you will give stories about it. People ask you, when did you die and go to heaven? You tell them, you will not understand. Am I talking to somebody like that? Say, you will not understand. You will not understand. Please, for me, chapter 6, verse 1. Please listen to that.
Therefore, let us leave the elementary teaching.
Now, as he was talking to them in their baby level, he's now elevating his message little by little.
About Christ. And go on to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from act that leads to death and of faith in God. Instructions about baptism, the laying of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting We will do so.
We will do so.
Verse 4 says.
Verse 4.
It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tested the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 says, who has tested the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age.
Listen to that. Listen
verse
to
6.
That. Listen to that. Listen to that. Don't run faster than yourself. He said, who have what? Tested what?
The goodness of the word of God.
Of the word of God.
And the powers.
And the power.
Of the coming age.
Of the coming age. He's telling you, some of us, we have tested a kind of power that is not for this year. It's not of this generation. We tested it of the generation to come. We test it. We feel how we experience how it looks like. How it feels like. Okay. If you are finding it difficult to understand what I just said, what about John? John that wrote the book of Revelation to you, did he not test the future glory? When he was seeing that book of Revelation, was it happening? No! But he was seeing the future, testing it. Even in the revelation, he was given a scroll. He ate it. He felt the test in his mouth. How can you be given a scroll in the future and you test it and you feel it? It's a level. It's a dimension that children of God have to operate even today. People like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even though Jesus has not come, they have the ability to summon Jesus. Even though his time has not yet come, they can summon him and he appears in the midst of the fire. And the king looked in the fire and said, the fourth man is there. He looks like the Son of God. People like Mary that can make Jesus turn water to wine, even though his time has not yet come. Testing future glory. Am I talking to somebody right here?
Yes, sir.
Today, in this service, there was a year I did that. But I don't know whether God, because I prayed about it, and the Lord has not given me permission yet. But I'm still hoping. Before I finish my message, God will give me the permission. I want to pray for you. There was a time we were having a meeting. And then, I prayed a prayer. I said, Lord, reveal to people who they are. And people fell into trance. They began to see themselves 5 years from now. They began to see themselves 7 years from now. Some of them are dressed in anyhow clothes, but they see themselves 5 years to come dressed in a wonderful attire. Some of them, they see themselves in the trance. They see themselves driving a car while they are still taking now. What are they doing? They are testing future glory. They are testing it. After I finished that prayer, I asked the Lord, let people come back. When people came back, they began to share their story. Some of them, you see them, they are smiling, they are happy. You ask them, why are they happy? They tell you, I've seen who I will be. I've tested it. So when I go home now, when my sister or my brother talks to me anyhow and tells me, you will end up dying for our love. You don't know the future. If you know what I tested in church today, I tested who I will be in the future. You know the kind of faith it will develop in you. Because you approach challenges with confidence that you will. Am I talking to somebody like that? Imagine you have a sickness now, and a doctor tells you remaining 1 week for you to die, and then you fall into trance and you see yourself 7 years in the future. Will you be afraid of that sickness again? No! Am I talking to somebody there?
Yes,
I remember when I was in a vehicle, and the vehicle was about to have an accident. My human nature wanted to react, but my spiritual nature took over. And all of a sudden I saw what God revealed to me years in the future. I said, God, you can't reveal to me this and I will die now. So let me relax. If you can see me in the future, then I will not die now. It's a level of faith. It looks like faith, but it's beyond faith. It's you engaging in a battle, but already knowing that you are victorious. Starting a war that you know you win. You engage in a business or a contract. When they are saying this business might follow, you say, don't worry, I saw it. I saw how we'll win this contract. Testing what? Future glory. When you read the Old Testament, you see the prophet of old giving revelation about Jesus. They are testing the glory that Jesus brought. When Isaiah was prophesying and saying, by his stripes we are healed, he is also testing it, feeling it. All of them love God, but they know they will not live to see when Jesus will come physically. So they tested it spiritually.
Stand on your feet. I see the way people are looking at me. I see my... I've committed a crime. Stand on your feet. Oh. Hallelujah. It's just a small meat I just give you. Is for the mature.
I want to pray for you. Because when you see us coming to you, and we are prophesying to you, every Sunday I test people's future. They don't know. When I come to you and I'm telling you, I see you getting promotion. I am testing your promotion before you. Before you test it, I've tested. Because you see me in the present, but I'm in the future. And you are not there. It's the one of you that is in the future that I'm meeting. When after 3 days, 4 days, you get a call that you are promoted, or you receive promotion, that's when you are celebrating. But I celebrated before you. I tested it before you. I happened to eat before you. What gave me the audacity to tell you it will happen is because I've tested it. A Christian needs to walk in that dimension where you know God sent you to that organization for 10 years and then in the fourth year they bring a news that they are going to sack some stuff, so you say, don't worry. I already saw myself working here 10 years, so it will not affect me. Do you need to pray for that again? No, no prayer is needed. You have already seen it. Did it occur to you that John, even though he's not alive, to see the book of Revelation fulfilled physically, he has tested it spiritually? Nothing is new to him again. Lift up your 2 hands. Say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. I want to have a test of the future. I want to have a test of the future. I want to have a test of the future.
Of the future.
If you test the future, you will not go to a witch doctor and do money ritual. Because you already know you will be rich. If you test the future, you will not be doubting God today. You already know you will be blessed.
Yes, sir.
Open your mouth and begin to pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.